Okay, thank you everybody for being here for our November meeting. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Gatchell.
Present.
Director Ohilski.
Present.
Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Sesenia. President Forcroy.
I'm here.
And I could just introduce Josh real quick. This is Josh George, partner of Jeff Minries. He's here for with us tonight, and Jeff will be back next week.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move into our general action items, which general action item 2A, draft letter to SLO County regarding unhoused population on Palisades.
All right, thank you. If you recall, back in September, we had public comment from concerned citizens regarding the situation that has gotten increasingly worse in the recent months. And they asked if we would write a letter to the Board of Supervisors regarding the issue. The board agreed to do that, so we scheduled it for tonight's meeting. Excuse me. So I did meet with the representative from the group that has had the concerns. And so I did provide a draft letter in the board packet and included those concerns in that letter, or some of the solutions in that letter, along with the concerns. And so basically what you're looking at tonight is the draft letter, see if there's any changes that you would like to make in it, and take public comment to see if there's any changes that the public would like to see as well. The recommendations that was we put forward was to restrict the parking to 4 hours on Palisades and indicate that the violation a vehicle could be towed away. Provide notice to the violators that there's alternative areas to go. And specifically right now it's Railroad Square in San Luis Obispo, but Oklahoma Avenue will be an alternative once they hopefully work through their issues with CAPSLO and the management of that area. And then explore all alternatives for alternative street parking. One of the members of the public provided me with some examples from other cities like in Sacramento and LA, where they've designated different areas that aren't impacting public facilities like ours as alternative parking sites. So there, those were the main recommendations that we put into that letter. So with that, the recommendation tonight is to get the input, incorporate any comments into the letter, and then authorize our board president to sign this into the county.
Yeah, so I definitely read the letter. I met with Chuck and Ron last week about it. So I think it addresses our concerns and ties us to the reasons why that's our business. So those are the parts that I was concerned with. Does anybody on the board have any comments or questions or recommendations?
I just have a couple questions. In general, I like the letter. I'm fine with it. Why do we pick 4 hours? Is that?
That was through conversations that the concerned group, citizens group, had with the sheriff's department. And that was the outcome of that discussion.
Okay. And do we have alternative places? Like, is there any place that comes to mind?
Well, we did do a survey for alternative spots. And realistically, right back here on 10th Street, on the east side from the shopping center coming up towards Los Olivos, there's businesses, of course, on the west side. There's nothing really on the east side. And it's all commercial, no residential, no public facilities like our library or community park. So that would be one option. There's other smaller areas, even like right here across the street, or down Los Olivos, that might be suitable.
Okay, I'm just curious. That's all my questions.
Thanks, Chris.
My question was around the 4 hours parking too, versus, is that a daytime thing or an overnight thing, versus just saying no parking between like midnight and 5 a.m.?
I believe it would just be 4 hour time limit. I don't know about hours, possibly one of, the public could speak to that since they were involved in that conversation, but it's mainly for the Because there is no camping.
Correct.
So that should eliminate evening parking. But right now, people are there all day and into the night. So yeah. This would be something to try to remedy, so they'd have to at least move from Palisades.
Yeah, my only concern was if there's legitimate community events going on that might be for more than 4 hours, mm-hmm. that could impact community pieces.
Good point. And
would that cause, if we did restrictions there, is that going to cause that problem to move elsewhere in our community? And then we have to do 4 hour parking at, down in Baywood or other places.
Well, as I indicated in the letter, there's really no good
solution.
I think the concern is the impacted area right now is where our community park is, children's, families, recreationists, the library across the street, which is a total community asset, and the problems that they're causing, the unhoused are causing down there.
My only last comment was, I believe on, page 2, paragraph 2 on the second or third sentence, it says, of an ordinance not allowing overnight parking on public roads. I believe it should be overnight camping.
Okay.
Just something to clarify.
What I understood basically is that this was the result of conversations with the sheriff about what they could actually, what was enforceable for them.
Yeah.
What were the tools to give them to try to help them. So,
because it seemed like the overnight camping wasn't enough.
Right.
So we're wanting additional measures is what we're saying. And that these are ideas, but if county has other solutions, sure. that we'd encourage any measures that can be implemented.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking like Troy, what's the longest I would be there? And I'm just trying to think of events like, I think usually I'm out of there in 4 hours, yeah. but you're right. We've had dinners at the Red Barn or
yeah.
I'm where would I go over that four? But
should be rare, but there could be.
Ron, we could just put some qualifying language in there, 4 hours unless they're attending an event at the community center. I mean.
I think that's hard to enforce.
Well, and I wanted to go back to the 4 hours. The 4 hours is any time.
Yeah.
And it's not camping, it's parking.
Yeah.
Because they don't know. I mean, somebody could have their windows tinted and they don't know that they're sleeping in there. So that's why it's parking, not just camping. I was involved in the whole thing when the county passed the first ordinance. So
the camping limitation language has proven to be legally problematic and problematic to enforce in certain instances. So there's been an adjustment in the language is being used towards that. If I could weigh in, perhaps on the 4 hours, you could just put a qualifier in there and restrict parking to a limited time frame or something. Now, if you don't want to commit yourself to that 4 hour period at this point, you want to explore.
No, I think we should commit to the 4 hours because we're only talking about two or three or four events a year. So I'm speaking as the lawyer in me now. I'd like to see the qualifier just say, sure. Except if there's events, and that's.
Yeah, I like that because I'm thinking if you are setting up the event, you're there setting it up and tearing it down, it's going to be longer than four. But if you put the qualifier, then we're good.
Yeah, if you're having an event, you're paying the community center or you're paying the county to use the Red Barn. So either which way, you're basically pulling the permit essentially.
Well, for the Christmas parade, there's some of us that are going to be there all day and that's where we're going to park, right. So
true. Okay,
hold on, you'll get
it's not public comment time.
Okay. That was my only
the 4 hours was the same
overall thing. I have a letter, those were my questions.
Yeah, I thought it was well written that the 4 hours was the same thing.
Just concerned that it's going to spread to the rest of the town.
Yeah. Okay, I am going to open our discussion for public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. And if you're online, please raise your hand.
And at the podium, please state your name.
Hi, Pam Hostetter. I'm on the South Bay Community Center Board. And what I envision, because this came out of all of us talking to Stuart McDonald extensively about this, and this was actually his way to enforce. So I envision, because we do have a lot of events out of our community center and we're getting booked, like full on booked for a couple of months right now. So that's good. I envision that whoever books would just probably have to let the sheriff's office know. And don't forget, we already have all that parking that's available for events. But if it goes beyond that parking, then just let the sheriff's office know that there will be an event that's going to go from X to Y. So beyond that, thank you so much, you guys, because this is going to make such a difference if we can get something like this set up. And we're really also pushing for other parking too, because we understand, but this is just not the place to have this happening in our little town. Thank you.
Thank you.
Becky McFarland, Los Osos. I agree with what Pam said, and the 4 hour thing. I mean, in reality, they're not going to be down there with a meter maid and a chalk thing on the wheels when there's an event, and telling people there is an event should make a big difference. And no, we're not wanting this to spread anywhere in town, and seeing how hard it is to get any ordinance passed in this town, I don't think you'll see that happen. I do want to say, I don't think anybody wants to see street parking anywhere in town. And the county is supposed to be working on alternatives to that. But part of the whole five-year plan and stuff is that every community is supposed to step up and do something. And we do have some small ideas. I spoke with Blake Fixler today, and I said, you know, the big problem with what happened on Palisades was the county putting out an announcement to the whole world. And I said, if that can be controlled, you know, say there's a church that wants to put two parking spaces, or the 10th Street property gets to have six spaces, don't advertise it to the whole world. It goes through the hobo telegram anyway, or telegraph. People know where they can park. Another issue that maybe you don't realize is that people just cruising through town that don't have reservations at Montana de Oro just go down there. People can park their RVs down there for free parking, you know, store your RV down there. So it's not just against having people camp there. It's having people leave stuff down there. And we actually had the Chamber of Commerce trailer down there that somebody rode down the hill, but it was being stored there for a while. So it's, you know, it's for everyone. It's not just not people camping. And we do really appreciate this. And I hope you'll keep supporting some ideas for doing something in this town, because it's so important. Thank you.
Thanks, Becky.
No. There is no public comment online.
We're going to have public comment for items not on the agenda soon.
Sorry.
No, this is specifically about this agenda.
We're glad you're here, and we'll
be out. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Is there any further public comment?
No.
There is none online.
Okay. Okay. Bring it back to the board. Do we have any more discussion? So we're talking about maybe adding a little bit of language in there.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the letter with the qualifier and the 4 hours thing. Just basically, I think the idea that, you know, if it's more than 4 hours and there's an event going on, and like she said, they can contact the sheriff's event, their department, the sheriff's department, let them know. I think
I can add that to the first bullet in the letter.
Okay. That was a motion. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Okay, I can do a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimous. Thank you all. Thank you, Ron, for putting it together. Thank you for helping us draft the language. It's a good step. Okay, our next agenda item is public comment for items not on this agenda. Is there any public comment?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, go right on ahead.
Thank you. Pam Hostetter, again, Los Osos. I just wanted to let, this is more informative for you guys, because I know you've been really working on the dog park. And of course, I've been talking about putting the pickleball on that side too. But something you should know, somebody came in, I don't know if you knew this, and redid all of the golf tennis. And they had a big tournament there. So I just thought I'd let you guys know that there's a group of people that are, I guess, wanting to use that space. Yeah.
So I just making the point for the audience.
Thank you.
There is no public comment online.
One more is in the boardroom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you walking up. I apologize.
That's okay, Laura. Becky McFarland again. I'm sure you all know that we comment a lot on the water situation in town. Something we found out recently is the county is going ahead and taking permits for new buildings, for guest houses. And I think I saw another ADU. So that's going on while they're negotiating with or arm wrestling with the Coastal Commission about what the Coastal Commission said. Another issue along those lines, I finally got a list of all the vacation rentals and homestays. And there's well over 100. People keep saying, oh, well, there's only 38 or whatever. You probably know there's, a lot more than those in town. And I'm not sure what role the CSD can take in this. One thing is, you know, you contract for fire services. Someone came to us with a fire and emergency awareness Facebook page saying people have a rental and they're having campfires in the backyard, wooden campfires. When they went to the county, it was like, no big deal. I think that is a big deal. If someone's renting something out and having full-on campfires in a small neighborhood, I think we should do something about that and be aware. So I'd be interested in, is there anything the CSD can do to help on that? Because you do contract for fire, so you're in charge of that. And also you have a water company, and that might be something to look into. Are the high rate of use water users vacation rental owners? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for public comment. So now I'm not seeing any others, so we're going to move on to our administrative committee reports. Chief Providence, for our fire department report.
Just quickly for Chief, before Chief Providence starts, in front of you you have a sample of what he's working towards for our monthly report. And he'll talk to that a little bit more, but that's what that piece of paper is.
All right. Good evening. Not a whole lot going on. It's kind of a slow month for us as far as call volumes, a lot of medical aids, but no major incidents to report to you folks at this time. As far as special projects and programs, kind of getting rolling back into the community service things, we're working on a lot of building inspections and business inspections, the Senate Bill 1205 inspections that are required to be completed every year for schools, businesses, and multifamily dwellings. We're working on getting a lot of that, focusing on getting those completed this month. So we're pretty caught up for the rest of the month, our rest of the year on taking care of those. So we're hyper-focused on training our new folks. We got a couple new people. We got them accredited, and we're waiting on academy dates for them in January. But until then, we're just working on getting them familiarized with the area, getting to learn the area. And so you might see some new faces run around, and you'll see us out dragging hose and banging ladders against buildings and driving around and showing them what Los Osos is all about. So that's all I have to report on what we got going on there. We've been talking about changing kind of some of the reporting functions and some of the statistical information that we're getting to you. I was finally able to meet with the young lady that puts this together and is able to maybe put it in a format that's a little more user-friendly, a little easier to read, and kind of make it a little more automated so that it'll just auto-populate so that when we all leave, and you probably heard me say it before, I'd like to think have things just kind of move on and continue on so that we're not having to relearn how to do everything. So in front of you, you have some graphs, and the statistics are a little bit different because the reporting period is going to be a little bit different than what we currently do. Right now, we're running our reporting period from the 22nd of the month to the 21st of the month. Incident summary, monthly incident summary that I've given you is going to be just the entire month. So first of the month to the end of the month, whichever month it is. It'll be produced on the first of the following month. So in January, is the February 1st, the January report will come out, and it's going to automatically go to the district and automatically come to my office. It'll probably be late for the board report just because of the reporting period and how it works, but it'll be a more accurate representation of what's actually going on with the Station 15 equipment. So going down it, you can see right now there's some stuff from October in there, and there's some stuff from November in there. And the way that the incidents are counted a little bit different. So the statistics are going to be different in this than they are in my report, because the way that I get my information is a little bit different than how this is done. This is right out of our CAD information. So as the dispatches go out and the engines go down the road, this is directly reflecting that information. So it's all computer generated. There's no my hands touching it and miscounting. So first line, it's got separated out by fire types. So structure fires, vehicle fires, other fires, vegetation fires. Other fires would be something that just doesn't fall into those three categories: dumpster fires, debris fires, that type of thing. So we don't have any for the reporting period of any fire instances. And then it breaks it down into medicals by type. So a medical TC is a traffic collision. A rescue would be either a cliff rescue or a surf rescue. Law enforcement would be something where the sheriff's office requests us to come out and assist them in whatever they got going on. Sometimes with some folks that are having some personal issues, we'll come out and assist them with that, and that's what that would fall under. Medical is just our standard medical aids, difficulty breathing type calls or cut fingers, and then medical CPR, which is a nice addition to our statistics, so that as we look at what types of calls that we're having, and maybe when we want to look at getting some different types of equipment or upgrading our services, we can see what kind of calls we're getting in specifically in the medical aid department. Miscellaneous calls, we have our hazards. So that's going to be natural gas leaks. That's going to be power lines down, things of that nature. Other things that just don't fall into that category. And then public assistance, which you need help off the floor, or your water main breaks, or those types of calls that fall into the public assist. Goes down into the bottom. It says incidents per month. So it breaks it down. She went all the way back to January 2022. And so you can kind of see how they play out. And what I'm going to point out is that if you go back in the board reports and you look at the statistics in comparison, so currently the way that the board statistics are extrapolated, my response is included in those. So the numbers are in addition to what would be here. So it looks like we're running more calls because they're including the battalion chief, but I also cover a quite a bit larger area than just Station 15. Sure. So it's not uncommon that I have from the Monterey County line to the Santa Barbara County line.
Okay, so this is incidents minus.
So this is specifically Engine 15 and Squad 15. Cool. Without me. And so this is gonna give us a pretty accurate number of what the workload of Station 15 actually is. I'll go on to the next page. One of the questions that has come up a couple times is about the aid that we're receiving, the aid that we're giving our neighboring agencies. So the first one here, SBY aid given to other agencies, it's not necessarily listing like San Luis City specifically or Morro Bay specifically. This is just a blanket statement because of how the calls are entered into the CAD. They all just go to the SLU is our unit identifier, three-letter unit identifier. So Medic Engine 15 assisted other agencies twice. And the squad went out six times in this reporting period. That's going to be things that are just outside of the CSD, potentially, or it's not uncommon for the squad to go up to Station 16's area, which is Cayucas. And then other agency aid to South Bay. So we've got, it looks like five cities came to help us once. That was probably a USAR type call. So urban search and rescue, because they do have some folks that are on the countywide urban search and rescue team. And then the county came in to help us once, and then other San Luis Obispo units came in to help us. Probably our headquarters station, Station 23, the state fire engine probably came in here twice, is what that's reflecting. So as far as like individual call types and getting into, you know, listing all the different types of calls, that's something that if a request is made, we can produce that report, but I'm going to leave that separate from this because it's just going to be so much information. It's pages and pages versus just a nice 2-page document. And this will tie into the annual report. So when the annual report comes out at the end of the year, it's the same information. So it should all add up at the end of the year, a lot better than what we're giving you right now. So the intent is check it out, see if there's additional information that you want in there, relay it to Ron. I'll meet with Brooke again, and we can maybe make some adjustments to the report. There's a couple items on here that I already see that we'll probably take off just for the ease of reading, and so that anybody can pick it up and read it and understand it. So if you have anything that you want to add to it or anything that you think we should take off, funnel it through Ron, and then I'll work with cleaning it up, and we'll do another draft one the next time. And then the first time that it'll actually come out as the official report will be the February board meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
Thanks. Any questions?
Oh, okay. Thanks for breaking down the categories.
Yeah.
I like it. Maybe a legend.
Okay.
Because I'll forget.
Okay.
But looks great.
Yeah, let's any little comments, let's get those to Ron and then for sure though.
Yeah, and some of the things we'll try. It's obviously it's subject to whatever the computer program wants to do. I'm horrible at that stuff. She's really good at it. So it'll be, if it can be done, she'll make it happen. And then, like I said, if I'm not here, if I'm out on, an incident out of state or something, or out of the area, this will always generate, and it'll always come into the CSD so that you'll at least have this information for the board report. If I'm not available to make to do the report. Perfect. So you'll always have this information.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Okay. Moving on. Do we have the sheriff online?
It does not look like he came online today.
Okay. How about CHP?
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yep. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good.
All right. Thanks for having me. Lieutenant Jason Grimm from the San Luis Obispo CHP office. And we had a slow month in October too. We had just 7 items to report, so I'll go over those now. We had 2 DUI arrests. The first was on the 10th. At 9:56 p.m. It was at LOVR at Fairchild Way. And the second was on the 30th at 3:20 p.m. And that was on the 2100 block of 10th Street. We had 5 traffic collisions. Thankfully, they were all non-injury. The first was on the 3rd. It was at 3:40 p.m. at LOVR and Sombrero. It involved 2 vehicles. And again, it was non-injury. On the 4th, we had one at 7:25 a.m. LOVR at 9th Street. 2 vehicle non-injury traffic collision. On the 10th at 5:09 a.m. LOVR at 9th also, solo vehicle into a traffic sign that was in the center median, non-injury. On the 18th, 9:45 a.m. LOVR at Turi, vehicle into a guardrail, solo, major damage, but non-injury, thankfully. And the final was on the 26th, 8:40 p.m., 9th Street at Napomo, 2 vehicle non-injury traffic collision. And that's it for us.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have any questions for CHP? Just take that minute. Time is changing. It's going to be very dark, very early.
Absolutely.
Especially in and around the turn to 9th off of LOVR, all the kids trying to get their snacks.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Even though I know it's there, I know it's going to happen, it still surprised me twice in the last month. All right. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya. Okay. Moving on. General Manager report.
Yes. Real quick, I'm going to go back to one utility update about our program C-Well, which we now call the Bay Oaks Well. The drilling phase is complete. The pump testing was amazing. We're getting more production than we thought we'd get out of it, and the water quality is excellent. So that's all wrapped up. We're waiting for the final invoicing, and we have moved, because of the water quality, we are able to put on tonight's agenda a RFP, request for proposal, to do the well equipping. We were thinking we might have to do some treatment. And so without that, we can move forward quickly. And that the pipeline design to connect that well to our system is coming up on 50% design. So we're moving along very well. And we have our first invoice approved from the state for our grant money, and we'll be getting a little over a $200,000 check back for this, that one billing period that Margaret has put together. So anyway, that's really good news. Cash flow the other way. Moving over to my GM report, I participated in the countywide water action team this month. If you remember, that's almost every water purveyor in the county participates in those meetings. The focus of this meeting was the discussion of moving the regional desalination project forward. The Board of Supervisors on October 18th supported moving forward with the desal plan, and that they're requesting agencies that want to be included in the phase one of that project pass a resolution of intent, which I'll be bringing to you in December. There's no cost to the agencies or, of course, the district to be included in that phase one. So I'll give you more information next month on that. Really good news is our annual audit's almost complete. Fetcher and Company have given me the final draft to go through. So far, no findings, a clean audit. So we're really excited about that. I'll be taking that to the FAC Finance Advisory Committee in December, and I'll have it to the board in January. Finally, I wanted to recognize a couple of other staff anniversaries. We've had quite a few here the last few months, which is exciting. Alicia Zuniga, who is our billing specialist, celebrated her 3-year work anniversary with us. And she's been amazing. She's taken our billing to the next level using the software that we have. And also Ian Good, a water resource operator, his 3-year work anniversary. And he's our techie guy down there and has moved all our system into an asset tracking program that we use now. So anyway, two great employees celebrating their time with the district. And as always, the drought reminder, nothing has really changed. A little bit of rain here and there, but we want people to remain diligent, use water wisely, limit your outdoor irrigation, and check for leaks. You have any questions?
No, okay, moving on. We have Parks and Rec on the agenda, but there wasn't a meeting. I will plug our next meeting, which is the 15th.
November 15th.
And we are going to have a good discussion about the Parks and Rec element of the community plan and revisit that and hopefully make some recommendations to the county about some of the needs which have changed since, maybe not changed, but maybe we can identify the needs more clearly than are in that document right now.
Yeah, in that document, there's passive recreation and active recreation sections, and it's evident from what we've been seeing here lately, we need to focus on the active, the need for more facilities, sports fields, etc.
And put an emphasis on getting the community plan updated and HCP in place, right, so we can do something. Okay, utilities report.
Chuck's not here tonight. We went through the base management committee meeting, which I can provide a brief update on as well as when we get down there. We were looking at our pumping strategies, what's going on with our wells. That the 8th Street upper well is operational. We're yet to put it into full production. That'll happen here soon. We're looking forward to decreasing the 8th Street lower. Well, this was all part of the conversation because we're starting to see results from decreasing the Palisades pumping, where the chloride levels have decreased significantly. And so we want to see that over in the 8th Street area. That's basically the things we cover.
Thanks, Ron. How about finance, FAC?
Okay. The committee recommended approval of the warrant register, and they also recommended we receive and file the financial reports, and they recommended the board receive and file the quarterly investment report. I believe we still have one opening on the committee if anyone's interested in joining finance committee or if you know somebody that would be good and could recommend them, that would be great. Are there any questions on the reports?
Thank you. Did we have emergency services?
No, we have that coming up on November 17th.
That's right. You have the...
Yeah, perfect storm week. Three committee meetings in a row.
Okay, Basin BMC report. Basin.
Yes, real quick. Some of the highlights are for the calendar. We discuss sustainable yield each year. The BMC is supposed to establish the sustainable yield for the upcoming year. So that's for calendar year 2023. The recommendation was to keep the sustainable yield at 2,300 acre feet per year, and that was approved. Also approved was a phase two of the lower aquifer nitrate investigation over in the S&T Mutual Water Company well area. The BMC is going to contribute up to, I want to say, $8,200 to help offset the cost for that study. And that's to truly understand where the nitrates are coming from. You know, it's suspected that it's from septage from Cabrillo Heights, but there's other sources over in that area, the horse, you know, stables and whatnot. We looked at the funding organization study follow-up. There's a quite extensive presentation, detailed presentation on what it would cost for the funding mechanism. So there wasn't any decisions made on that. The direction from the BMC committee was to come back and look at what it would take or what it would look like to just form a JPA minus the funding mechanism. And then they'll discuss the funding mechanism. Because basically what the consultant laid out was to even get to a Prop 218 vote for this community to assess themselves, it's over $100,000. And so that's pretty big financial commitment by the BMC. So that's still an ongoing conversation. And then finally, we looked at the first draft of the fiscal year 2023 budget, which we're trying to get a new monitoring, chloride monitoring well in the lower aquifer. I was able to secure a grant from the Moro Bay National Estuary Program for $75,000 to offset the cost. It's about $150,000 to drill a new well over there. So that's hopefully going to be in the budget. And we looked at revamping or rehabilitating three existing wells that they're not abandoned, but they're no longer in use for various reasons, and rehabbing those to add to our monitoring network. And that's going to be in the budget as well. So that's the BMC report.
All right, thank you. Do we have any director announcements, attendance at other meetings, anything like that? Marshall, do you have any announcements? Nothing
tonight? BMC, I'm there, but I had to leave early, so I went.
Okay.
Hey. I would just thank the chamber for putting on the Oktoberfest this year and helping get that event back. Yeah. They did a good job of.
Okay, there were no previously asked questions. So I'll see right now, is there any director want to pull a consent agenda item?
Can we pull F? I just have a comment.
Yes. Okay, so this is public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda, except for item F.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
Becky McFarland again. Hooray on the water quality report on the Bay Oaks well. That's great. I love hearing that. At the last LOCAC meeting, there was quite a bit of useful discussion about community issues, parks, water, and more. And I'm relating this to utilities and water that we just spoke about. For those of you, if you're on Zoom, you may not know that LOCAC is really the only place that community discussion happens where it's not 3 minutes of public comment as you have to do, and then possibly answers to questions raised. So I find that so important, and I wanted to thank Chuck Sasena for the information he shares as he gives the CSD report. In his report and the discussion, the topic of the intertie pipeline for state water was visited. And one nugget that came out of that discussion is the possibility of using the intertie to bring desalinated water from a South County plant that is being explored. It's important to know that this will be at least 20 years from now, but infrastructure will be much more expensive at that time. In the meantime, as we wait for possible water from elsewhere, I want to encourage some creative thinking on how we can conserve more water on our own water. Dan Heimel commented to me at the wonderful Oktoberfest, that was so much fun, that he would like to know more about laundry gray water use. And in addition, he seemed interested when I brought up some ideas about pursuing incentives for community members to buy rainwater storage and gutters for homes. So recently, Maggie and Bruce Corlitz, some wonderful community members, put out the message that they were procuring 275 gallon IBC tanks, those big white tanks in the cages, for just $100 a piece. So they've been recycled, and I was able to purchase four, and I'm working to get those hooked up as I pray for rain. There's another order going in soon. So if you're on Nextdoor, I think it's advertised there on Facebook. It's on Los Osos for Good Governance. Support Los Osos, and I believe the Los Osos Fire and Emergency Awareness page. So they're easy to hook up, and I encourage you to join in on this movement, and I'll share the progress at our own house as we save another 1,300 and some gallons of rainwater. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comment?
There's no public comment online.
Okay, I'll bring this back to the board.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exception of item number F, and receive and file the reports.
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Ovolsky.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Gatchel.
Yes.
President Porcry.
Yes. Okay, that passes unanimously. Now we'll go to discussion of pulled consent agenda item F, Morro Bay National Estuary Program Community Marine Debris Grant Opportunity.
So I'm in favor of grants. The comment I want to make, back in my LOCAC days, it's not just Bill Lee that was personally taking care of trash. I know of at least one other spot up in at the Broderson Trail. I think there's individuals that they came to LOCAC. Their complaint was, we advertise these trails, but then we don't have trash collection, and so they end up taking all the trash themselves at their own expense. And it might be nice if it was something picked up by the community. So, but I do know that they were talking to Bruce, and maybe the county is doing it. I'm not sure, but I just kind of wanted to, when this came up, it just made me think that's not the only citizen that is kind of shouldering the burden of our community trash. And maybe we should look to, since we have the trash, or we run the trash now, maybe we can do that for ourselves.
Sure. You know, the challenge is that you have to have a container that one, the garbage company can pick up, and then it has to be relatively bulletproof for public, you know, use. This particular request was really geared towards that Mr. Lee did provide containers down there by the pier, and that when those went away, and with all the upswing and takeout and food down on Second Street, that there's an ongoing issue that needed to be addressed. So that's where this particular one came from. And it just happened when I was talking to the estuary program about the monitoring well grant, that this community programs grant came up. I said, oh, would they do trash containers? So it was kind of a specific conversation. They said, oh, sure, we can do that, put something together. And so that's where this originated from. I understand, you know, there's definitely, there's like, a, you know, poop bag trash cans around that usually a neighbor will take care of. There's a couple of in my neighborhood. And those would just be a challenge, I think, from a collection standpoint, if you understand what I mean. But we could definitely look at it.
Okay, that's it. I'm in favor of it. I did pull it because I wasn't, but I just wanted to add on.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
Becky McFarland again, and thank you for bringing up the Broderson Trail. I did ask Bruce to donate $17.52 a month to pay for a trash can out in front of my house, in which I was told there was no community money for that. But when I saw that he donated $50,000 of his community money to the hall in Cayucas, I mean, I always knew there was some money somewhere. I had to do all of that fundraising myself. I lugged that 20-pound container to the curb every week for like 5 years. It stinks. And they are around town. The community members shouldn't have to do that. There probably are willing people that would just wheel it. I mean, we just got one of the small ones and just wheel it over and they take it. But I also got to clean and sanitize that. I finally gave up because I got tired of smelling it when the winds were blowing offshore. Now someone has hooked up a bucket, but if they're not doing that, then I see it out my window and I have to go tell them. So I really think it's a community thing we should do. I mean, we got a gazillion dogs around here and we should be picking that up. I think that's a community thing. It shouldn't be put on just individual citizens. And yeah, the county should help out. They say they don't have a trail at Broderson. Funny thing, it's on about 100 hiking websites all over the world, but they won't own it that it's their trail. So I don't know if you want to push on them about that, because it is advertised. Somebody put it on Google Maps. Somebody, one of our local citizens did. And I said, you know, could you take that off, please? That's in front of my house and you're inviting the whole world to a place that the county, the CSD, nobody supports except basically me and my neighbors that donated. So yay, thank you for that. And I know over at, I think at the Elfin Forest, they have people that pull the bags out and then get them to the curb so that trash can be collected there. So I'm sure there's some volunteers that would help, but it's an important thing. And especially for the estuary, having been an outdoor educator, we did the watershed model like they have at Monarch and put little chocolate sprinkles to show where your dog poop ends up. And then ask the kids, do you like surfing in that out at Morro Bay? Do you like paddling through it? All of that waste goes into the bay. It runs off the hill, down the street and into Midtown also. There was questions about what happened with our eelgrass. Nitrates kill off eelgrass, and I'm intending to talk to them about that, but we need to keep the nitrates out of the water. Thank you.
Bring that. Is there any further public comment?
There is none online.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I just like to thank Ron for taking this under his wings, because it was one of the items that my wife, who walks our dog down there every day, as soon as Bill had died and they turned that trash service off, that it started to become a problem. So I want to express my appreciation to Ron for taking it under his wings and getting a resolution of that.
Okay. Thank you.
And getting funding.
That was my goal.
Okay. That was part of what I, yeah.
With that, I'm going to look for a motion on that item.
I can't cheat now with the okay, I move that we agree to the National Estuary Program Community Project Marine Debris Grant Opportunity, recommend acceptance of the grant if awarded, and the annual expenditure for solid waste disposal.
Perfect.
Second that.
Okay, a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we passed that unanimously. Thank you. Any future agenda items that the board would like to see? No? Okay, I know next board meeting we're going to be discussing town incorporation, right? That's right. Our big discussion next month.
And we'll have the DSAL.
And the DSAL. So until then, watch out for the kids. It's going to be very dark next week.